Have your Bibles. Really, Brother Don stole my verse, but in 2 Chronicles, you've heard that verse read many times. Brother Ron led us in the first hymn this morning, Revive Us Again. Our nation needs revival. It needs revival. Our churches need reviving. And yea, our individual lives need reviving. The title of my message, and I've dealt with this really, really all week. And you know, you come to a place that you're kind of like you're standing out by the ocean. And as you stand out there, you have a little pebble. And you cast that pebble in that big old ocean. And you wonder if the splash will make any difference. And that's about the way I've come in the message this morning. You wonder if the message will make any difference in the world that we live in today. I doubt very serious that it will peck at the world's problems. I doubt very serious that seriously, that it's going to change anything drastically. But the truth is, it's the message that God has laid upon my heart. And therefore, I'll preach it. God's spiritual tonic for a sick nation. Our nation is sick. We need to really be admitted to the intensive care in heaven. It's got that serious. And hopefully and prayerfully, knowing that the great physician, only God, is our hope to salvage our nation. That's where we've come today in our land. Before I get into the message, if I even get into the message, as I look at the alarming condition of this nation. See, this week we're commemorating tomorrow Memorial Day, and it commemorates the lives of those men and women who have given the ultimate sacrifice, their very life, for this nation. And though it may mean nothing but a hot dog and hamburger and maybe things like that for us, but for some families, it means a remembrance of that child, that grandchild that gave the sacrifice of their life for our freedom we hold in this country. And no doubt it must break their hearts in many ways to see our nation going in the direction that it has gone today. If it could be described, turn to Isaiah chapter 1. And here in Isaiah, we have the condition of the children of Judah. And a condition that I believe we can look at and say that, yea, the condition of our own country has many similarities. God said concerning His people, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Does that sound like anything that's going on in America today? Does it? Honestly, you have to say, yes, it does. It has become a seed of sinfulness in our land. And then he says, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They're gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. And then he makes this statement concerning the children of Judah. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint. You know, I've never taken tonic like black draft or castor oil. Some of you have, some of you are grinning because you've taken that tonic. And you know that it's a hard tonic to take. I've heard my parents describe, my grandmother describe having to give Castrol, and how that, it's so hard to digest and to take. But yet, for the health of the body, they took it. And you know, for a nation, many times, the tonic has to be difficult. Now, folk, when we find, as we look in the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, this is God's tonic for a nation that has become sick. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face. Now, repentance is something, folk, that's hard. It's something that is difficult to do. Yet it is the tonic that will help heal a sick nation. Let me give you some statistics to me that are very alarming. Did you realize that every great civilization, that within a little over 200 years, that great civilization has ceased to be? That's alarming. Because our nation is just a little over 200 years. And we have to say that, yea, our nation is living on borrowed time. I can truly say and believe this morning that our nation is living at the mercies of God. If any people is experiencing and living at the mercies of God, it's America. I mean, if you'll see in the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, and you look at verse 9, you'll find in 2 Peter chapter 3, they're mocking in the last days. They're mocking the promise of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Peter writes, listen, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. What is His promise? That Jesus will come again. But He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God is long-suffering, and He is long-suffering today to America. But you'll find that same writer, Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 4, he makes this statement. In verse 17, he says, now it is the time that judgment must begin at the house of God. Folk, it's time that, yea, we, as not only the citizens of this country, yea, we as the Lord's church, take the tonic that will heal us. Be willing to do what will heal us as a nation. Now I say we're living at the mercies of God. What is keeping this country together? I mean, what is holding off God's judgment simply falling upon this nation? I personally believe it's what's sitting in this building today. I really do. I think it's the Lord's church. And I believe it's the faithfulness of God's people within that church that's keeping America and keeping the judgment of God from coming upon this nation. You know, Paul in 2 Thessalonians, he described the coming of Antichrist. And he made this statement. He said, now he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, to me, that's the Holy Spirit within the church that one day is going to be withdrawn from this earth. And folk, when the church is withdrawn from this earth, then the wrath of God is going to be leveled at this world. And it's that faithful church. It's the salt of the earth. It's the light of the world that's holding the judgment of God from coming upon this earth. And so today, as we think, I thank God for faithful Christians, don't you? I thank God across this country. There are churches that are still faithful and dedicated to God's Word. And folk, you listen. It's helping this nation. Whether she appreciates it or not, she doesn't. But it's holding, it's the thread that's keeping this nation together, what she has today. So as we think of America, let me give you some statistics that from 1960 may be alarming to you. Since 1960, 560% increase in violent crime in this country. Now, I realize the Bible says in the last days that we will see violence. We will see wrath, even in families across this land, that we're going to see it in the world. But some of you are sitting there and your people that have died and gone on to be the Lord, if they could see, would turn over in their graves to know that the school systems, the places that people crowd have become the prime suspect for crimes in this country. Who would have thought that in America we would have to police our school systems to keep them safe? Who would ever thought that here in this country? But folk, that's true. Who would ever thought this? That a visitor could walk through those doors and thank God for our visitors. But a visitor could walk through those doors that we not know. And you know what? He could open fire and my destruction could even be in this place. Are we listening? Why is it that churches, that many today will have men to police the halls while the service is going on? Why? We're living in America. But yet, we see wrath and we see that the safety of people is at stake. My, who would have thought that? Who would have thought that more than 400% increase in illegitimate births? Listen, 30% of all births and 68% of black births in this country are illegitimate. That's astounding. But you want to hear me gripe just a little? I gripe many times going home. And you know what I gripe about? Is our nation supports and promotes many of these things today. The programs that people can get on that will do what? That will furnish their lust. Now, folks, that may not be popular, and as I say, I'm throwing a little stone in an ocean today. And you may work for these agencies. But folk, I want to tell you something. When my mother conceived my sister and I, there were no such things as WIC programs. There were no such thing as this welfare today that we find that all you do is have children, and the more children you have, the better off financially you are. Doesn't it burn you sometime just to think of those things? Doesn't it stir you sometimes to think of our nation? Something somewhere has got to be a realization that those things are not helping our nation. But we're here today. We deal with those things. There's a quadrupling in divorces. Our home is so much under attack by the social disorder that's in our nation today. More than 200% of suicides in our country have crime because of the suicides in our nation. This past week, in Fayette County, a preacher committed suicide. Amazing. His daddy was the first preacher that gave me an opportunity to preach outside the church there at Liberty. He pastored a little church, small church, just outside of Sullivan. I mean, did he come to the point that he felt that he was just throwing a small pebble in the water? Did he come to the point that he thought that the church is not growing and we're here? Did you know something today, folk? There's more pressure in pastoring a small church than there is a large church. Because you see the disappointment and discouragement of many in God's church today that just don't care, that's not unfaithful. It breaks my heart to hear Brother Don get up here each Sunday morning and say that wish that God's people would have a desire to come to God's house and to be involved. And I know that it hurts, and it does. We're sometimes throwing a small pebble in an ocean. Does it make a dent? Are we helping? Then we find that 80% of the world's alcohol is consumed by Americans. The drug epidemic in our nation is just out of control. Just this week in the paper, there at Hamilton, someone that we know, that we wouldn't have dreamed of, was picked up for trafficking drugs. Now, folk, as the old devil, I guess, pressed upon my heart and said, what's the use of preaching a message anymore on trying to show the condition of our country because many will not listen? We all live in our own little world, let's admit it. We all do. We go to the same places, we do the same things, and we have the same friends around us. And as I've often said, we don't like to step out of that world. But we have to see what's happening in the world around us, that this world is hurting and that this world is sick. Look at the book of Jeremiah 9 and verse 22. It kindly wants to ask the question that we ask today. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? I mean, here as we think, we have preaching every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, churches across this country, and we ask ourselves, why is there no change? Why is there no change? And the only thing that can come to our hearts and minds is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? I could reach out to you this morning and I could say to you, are you listening? You say, Brother Danny, aren't we looking at you? Don't come with me with that. Hey, you may look at me and say, he's the dumbest feller I know. I may be, but I'll tell you what, I've done the same thing. I've looked straight at the preacher and not listened to a word that he says. Oh, me? We've been there, most of us, and we've done that. And I believe today that we're living in this culture, even in religious culture, that we come to the house of God, we sit, and we look at the preacher, but we really don't listen to what he says. We really don't listen. And folk, listen, we don't look at the things around us that's going on and can see the deterioration of our nation. And I wonder many times, as many of those that have been laid in the cemeteries that fought for our freedom, that fought for our privileges, they must wonder, was it worth it to see a culture that has come to the place that we are today? Is it worth it? Well, again, our spiritual tonic, and folk, I want to say again, taking tonic is not something that's pleasant. But we must, as a people, turn back again to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And just for a moment, I'll just hit on a couple of these. If my people, which are called by my name, the people that desire revival. Who are they? Who are they? And I begin to think. Now, just who are people that desire revival? You say, well, Brother Danny, they're God's people. But folk, I want to remind you that all of God's people don't desire revival. Now, you think of that. All of God's people don't desire revival. Who of God's people desires revival? The people that thirst after God. They are the ones that really desire revival. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I mean, who are those that's really praying for revival in this nation? It's not the calm Christian that's wrapped up with this world, that enjoys this world. Folk, that's not the person that desires revival. As a matter of fact, they're completely satisfied that things continue as they are, and things continue to go as they are. They're completely satisfied. It's not that carnal Christian that they have gone into the world has got them, they love to get up, they love to go to work, they're involved in those things, and listen, they don't want to see change. Amen? They don't want to see change. Because it would mean some changes in their lives if true revival came. I mean, is it the backslider? Is it that Christian that has gotten away from God? And you saying, Brother Danny, they're sitting and praying for revival? No. No. They're out of fellowship with God. And folk, they don't desire revival in their heart. The ones that really desire revival is the ones that love God. And they, through the burden of their heart, can see the things that are going and see how the world has left them, but they desire those times of refreshing. It's that child of God's heart that's burdened. It's that child of God that somehow, some way has lost the joy of their salvation, and they're asking God to restore that salvation to them. It's that church member that's faithful, that can look out over the building, and they can see so many empty pews, and they see people who once served God so faithfully and dedicated, yea, in Sunday school, that, as Brother Ron said, found delight in coming to the house of God. It's that they once seen the house full, and they desire to see that, and to see souls saved in their lives and in their churches. It's those that desire revival. It's those who really pray and hunger for revival in their lives. All today, may we pray not only for revival, but be willing to put ourselves in the position for God to revive us. I'm like someone has said, I've come to the point that we may insult God for asking Him to bless our nation. You say, what do you mean, Brother Danny? Because the way our nation has become to ask God to bless it. I mean, listen, God who set the principles. I mean, here is a nation that's consuming over 80% of the world's alcohol. Here's a nation that is letting abortion run rapid. Here's a nation that has fixed marriage between just two people, whether they be male or female. It doesn't matter anymore. Here a nation that really insults God. Here's a nation, and you say, Brother Danny, let's ask God to bless this kind of ways that we do. God will not do it. It's only to that nation humbles themselves. And by the way, humble means bent knees. That's the literal word for humble, to bend our knees. And that will only come in God's way. Folk, you listen. I love air conditioning, don't you? I love those padded pews, don't you? Some of these young people have never said anything different than a padded pew. I've sat in those old hard pews. Amen? And I've listened to long-winded preachers that I thought never would quit. I mean, I've experienced all those things. But I'll tell you what, I've also experienced some good things in God's house. Amen? I've experienced people shouting in a Baptist church. You say, why, Brother Danny? They were so happy in the Lord. Did you know something today? And it's true. It's true. If someone was to shout in this building simply because they were happy, that probably the preacher would stop and probably every one of you would turn around to see what in the world was going on. Now, truthfully be said, wouldn't that what happened? I mean, the joy. I long to see the revival of joy restored in God's house. Amen? To be happy. Folks, you listen. I realize that this is a special place. But I'll tell you what. God wants His people to be happy, to be joyful in the Lord. We need a revival of joy in our Baptist churches. To joy in God's Word. To joy in this place. I long to see that. And I realize today, as far as many is concerned, they could care less. They could care less. All amounts to them is putting themselves in a pew. And you do what you can do with me. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad. All the revival of righteousness in our churches. The revival of dedication in our churches and in our lives today. If my people, who are those people? It's you and I sitting and standing here this morning. As I say this morning, and I'll say again, there is no place too hard for God to work. It is. There's no place. And can I be honest with you this morning? Can I truly be honest with you? God can work in Burnout Baptist Church. He can. I mean, it might sound like a miracle, but He can put some amens in these pews that the preacher can hear. I mean, it's amazing. Brother Billy said when he started his study on John the Baptist, and he went out that time that he announced it, and he said, I'm going to get people to talk, ask questions, and to talk. You know what I said? Good luck. Good luck. I've tried it for 4 years. I haven't accomplished it. You say, what do you mean, Brother Danny? Being involved, folks. There's no one that's going to get on to you for being involved. There's no one going to look at you for being involved. You say, well, I might ask questions that might not be too smart. Ask them because someone was standing there wanting to ask the same thing. We are coming here to worship. We're coming here to study. We're coming here to enjoy one another. Sister Louise said to me last week, and it's so true, I just love coming to God's house to see people, to fellowship with people. I love to come to God's house to fellowship with God's people, and we need a revival in our churches just to fellowship with one another. Amen. Revival. My people, those that loves the Lord. But look at the deterrent. Humble yourselves. The pride that does what? That we just won't do it. Because of what, folk? Simply because of pride. Pride. Self-pride. You know, our president took a trip last week, went to different countries. And there was one thing that I just did not like and detaste that he did in that trip. You may have not have noticed it. You know, when all the leaders were standing there and President Trump jerked one of them back and stood in front of him, that just really bothered me because that's not humility. Now, he might have been doing that for fun. I don't know, but I'm just saying the picture didn't impress me. But folk, listen. Our pride really keeps us from enjoying the blessings of God. I mean, today we live in a nation that has self-pride, self-preservation, and self-presumption. We do. We as a nation thinks, listen, that all things are going to continue as they are. Well, folk, listen. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Be careful in presuming things. Amen. Be careful. Be careful that you'll think that, listen, the bountifulness in this nation will always be. Because, folk, it could not be. It could not be. I told you before that taking Castrol would be something very difficult for this nation. And it would be difficult for me because it's something hard to take. What if our grocery stores were just empty shelves? What would we do? A reminder to me came here about a month ago. Brother Greg is our next door neighbor. Brother Greg, I guess, is 38 years old. I guess he's that old, 38 or 40. And Brother Greg came to us, and I don't know why he would come to us, but said, "Can you show me how to make a garden?" I said, "What? Can you show me how to plant seed?" And he had evidently had went to the store, and he had all these bags of little old seed. He had tomato seed. He had squash seed. He had every seed. And Brother Greg had been out there all day, mind you, with a shovel. And he was digging up his yard. And he dug up a place about a 4x4. And he was going to plant all those seeds in that 4x4. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying this. How is he going to survive if all these things were cut off? How is he going to survive? Now, folks, we pray that we continue to enjoy all these things. But folk, I'm going to tell you, God can cut the gourd vine, can't he? And God can send the wear. And I remind you that we're living on the mercies of God and the fumes of a past generation that served God and were faithful to him. But today, we need healing. We need healing in our nation. We need healing in God's house. Too many in God's house have held grudges. And they've held them for years. That folk, you listen, need to be let go. Need to be let go. There's a balm in Gilead that would heal that. Oh, today, we need to see lost souls coming down the aisle moved by the Holy Spirit. That would bring rejoicing to our hearts. Y'all remember the times, ladies, that you would just cry and your makeup would smear and, oh, you just get so excited? Wouldn't that be a good time again? What are you saying, Brother Danny? Revival. Revival. In our nation, in our land, in our churches, that we could find joy in the things we do for God. I say again, I realize that this message is like taking a little pebble, throwing it in the entire ocean, and it ain't gonna make much of a splash. But I know this, God's word won't return unto him void. I know it. I believe it. And God has a purpose. And I must stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ. Charles Finney said, the great revivalist that preached many revival in America, he said this, every one of God's preachers ought to be revival preachers. And every message ought to surround revival. So true in our land. So true. If you're here this morning and you've lost the joy of serving the Lord, you've lost that get up and go, we might say, of excitement. My, today, ask the Lord to restore that joy, give you that purpose again. If you're here this morning and the Lord's been dealing with you about salvation, he's been troubling that heart, that trouble won't cease until you yield yourself to God through repentance and faith to him. Someone said, well, preacher, I get mad at you for preaching the truth. On the way, you're going to get happy doing what God wants you to do. Ask you to stand today. I don't know your heart. God does. I've tried to share my heart and what God has given some things for as I've looked on today. But I think you can say America needs healing. We need the touch of God and the fresh touch of God in our land, in our lives today.